part one, there's a party going on. Let me clarify times of tribulation too, because there are many theologians who graduated from seminary, and some of those brilliant theologians have said, you know, we are already in the tribulation period. We are not in the great tribulation where the Antichrist is ruling and all that stuff. We're not there yet. If we were in the great tribulation, then the Bible's wrong, because we'd be out of here before the tribulation starts anyway. That's when the church, we get pulled out before that. Why is that? Well, because the greatest judgment the world has ever known is the great tribulation. The greatest. The world hasn't seen anything compared to what that's going to do. And if God said to, if Abraham said to God, he was his covenant man in the earth, and he said, will you judge the righteous with the wicked? Shall the God of all the earth do that which is wrong? God said, I'll spare it. I'll spare the city for 10 righteous. Because he will not condemn the righteous with the wicked. Why? Because that blood is talking to him and he can't violate it. He won't. Otherwise, he would have to undo himself. He laid it all on the line. This is good stuff. God loves you. And he's wrapped that love up in a covenant. And he said, here. So, in other words, we would have to come out of here before the great tribulation, because you are more righteous than Abraham. You have a better covenant than he had, based on better promises. The blood has been shed. It's not the blood of bulls and goats. This is the blood of his son. Yeah. And if he judged you, he would have to apologize to Jesus, and he won't do that. So the church is out of here before the great tribulation. Have I made that abundantly clear? Yes. Turn with me to Luke chapter 6. And I want us to begin our confession this morning, but I want to base our confession on something. You know, the Bible says in James, it says that knowing this, there's prepositions and connections in the New Testament that don't come about English too well, but they're built into the Greek language. But we had to add prepositions. It says, count it all joy when you encounter various trials, knowing this, that the trial of your faith works patience. That's the King James. But actually, if you put that into a modern vernacular, what it means, the trying or the trial or the exercising of your faith, the working of your faith, works in you consistency and endurance. That's what that means. Because I can't go into that. So when we make our confession this morning, we got to know this, that the Word of God is powerful, that the Word of God changes lives, renews minds, heals bodies. The Word. He cast out spirits with His Word. With His Word, He established. With His Word, He defeated Satan. With His Word. And that Word is God speaking to you. Say this with me. This word is God speaking to me. This word is God's life being imparted to me. This word is God's incorruptible seed being planted in me. This word is God's authority being delegated to me. This word is God's blessing overtaking me. This word is God's ability empowering me. This word is God's counsel guiding me. This word is God's power of salvation to me. This word is God accomplishing in me that which pleases him. This word is God speaking to me. So in Luke chapter 6, verse 22, he said this, blessed are you when men shall hate you. Yeah. That'll cure you from codependency right here. Blessed are you when men hate. I can just hear him say this. You know what? Blessed are you when men hate you. Oh, Praise God. And when they shall separate you from their company and shall reproach you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake, rejoice in that day and leap for joy. For behold, or look, what are you looking at? Look, your reward is great in heaven. Look at the rewards. Look at what your obedience is producing for you. What we do in this world affects eternity. For in like manner did their fathers to the prophets. Is this happening right now in our world? Do men hate us? Is this happening in our world? Is this happening in our country? Is this happening in our communities? Is this happening in our businesses? Is this happening in our school systems? In our PTA meetings? When they call you a domestic terrorist because you're concerned about your kids' education? It's okay that they burn cities. That's peaceful protesting. But you're a terrorist if you stick up for your kids. You know that governor in Virginia that just lost? You know, during that campaign, he stood up and says, parents have no business in education. They're not your, they're ours. That was his, what was that moment? Deplorable moment? And he lost. And the people are getting tired of this. In New Jersey, that election was lost by just a sliver of a percentage. By a no-name. I wonder if they found some extra ballots that time. Yeah. Well, this is happening. And if they can't get their own way, they're going to make it their way. Like a little kid, like a brat. Wants his own way. Well, do they hate Christians? Yeah. Is this happening in our healthcare systems, in our government, everywhere? It's happening. Why? Do they separate you from their company because you won't get a shot? Now, if you've gotten a shot, I want you to know, God is merciful. He loves you. If you've gotten the shot, you can go to him and say, Father, I need your provision. Protect me from whatever long-term, you know, all the questions that regarding that. Look, you can rise above it because you have been elevated to a place of favor with God. Bully you. There's some people who won't and some people who will. 20,000 cops and firefighters first just marched over the Brooklyn Bridge in defiance to Bill de Blasio. Is this a political rally? No. We're calling things what they are because they're not calling us on the news. We've got to do it from the pulpit. Right. Yeah, right. We're the Black Robe Regiment right now. Bullying, being reproached, casting your name out for evil. You know, and here's the thing is, they're saying, arguments. They say, if you don't get the jab, then you're endangering people. Well, how's that right? That doesn't even make science sense. That doesn't go in the lab at all. What do you mean? Me getting vaccinated will help you? No, you get vaccinated to protect yourself. At least that's the way it was when I grew up. Yeah. Well, and that's another argument, masks. You know, if you believe masks work, and you're wearing one, why would me not wearing one threaten you? Okay. Now, if you believe that masks work, wear one. But if you believe they don't work and you're wearing one, then you've swallowed the Kool-Aid too. Either way, coming and going, it doesn't make sense. The masks do not prevent COVID. And they say, well, you're endangering other people. I'm going to tell you something. These are the same people who think that we are evil because we call abortion the murder of an unborn baby. We call it murder. And they say, well, you know, that's women's productive rights, reproductive rights. That's health care. Okay. So that health care that you subscribe to has murdered 65 million unborn children. Now, if you've gotten an abortion in the past, God's merciful. God has taken care of that already. Just receive it. You don't need any more condemnation, at least from the church, too. No, you need acceptance and mercy. It's great. Because God's mercy is better than anything that you can even conceive of. I mean, it is rich and pure, but go to him. Like the prophecy said this morning from our brother, go to me, come to me. Don't walk away from him. So if they're so concerned about life and spreading the, you know, whatever, you can't have it both ways. What about our medical rights? Okay, there's two sides of the coin. But these are the times we're living in. Amen? These are times of tribulation. Jesus said, in this world you'll have tribulation. Amen? John 16, verse 33. He said, in me you will have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. Amen. So, he said this among all of this, and it was worse when he was living. It was worse government. It was worse everything. Standards, light. People had lived in darkness without the truth for 4,000 years before Jesus came in. And he said, I'm the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't walk in darkness, but you will have the light of life. And he said this, when men hate you because of me, when they revile you, cast your name out as evil. He said, you are blessed. Rejoice. Leap for joy because great is your reward in heaven. And you don't have to wait to heaven to get it. Rewards will be handed out there, but they are greatly multiplied. But the down payments of all of those you'll find in this world. Woo-hoo. It's like Christmas morning every morning with God. You can wake up and say, thank you, Jesus. Lord, you have a reward for me today, and I'm going to work on that some more today. Amen? Amen. You're not working for your salvation. No, but you're engaging with God and doing what he says. And when you do what he says, it's just the way he is. He rewards you. Not because you earned it, not because you deserve it, but because he's God. Amen? We don't do these things for salvation. We do them because we are saved. So rejoice and leap for joy. You know, Aaron Rodgers also. Have you heard about this? Aaron, the quarterback for Green Bay? He said, and he's come against, I mean, he's getting slammed with a whole lot of flack because he said, no, I'm not getting the vaccine. He said, I'm not doing it. He said, why? Because I've looked at it. I've examined it, and I've consulted professionals in that field. I suspect it's probably the America's frontline doctors. He says, and I know that there's bad things in there, so I'm not doing it. And look at the flack he's gotten. The world is unbelievable. When you don't agree with them, they're tolerant until you don't agree with them. But then what do you need tolerance for if they're agreeing with you anyway? So, anyhow. David asked this prophetically. He said, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The New King James says, why do the people plot a vain thing. Why do people devise the New American Standard? The Passion Version puts it this way. How dare the nations plan a rebellion? Their foolish plots are futile. You know, until you get the futility of your own way, your own plots, your own attitudes, your own intolerance for other people, and until you've had it up to here and get rid of it, you can't see the futility of life until you see the futility of the world, of their agenda and the rebellion. And if you have it in your own life, get rid of it. You can. Everybody say this. I can. Get rid of rebellion. Futility. Meaninglessness. Uselessness. I can get rid of all of it. Jesus lives in me. And just smile. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 2. And we're going to join the party. Everybody say, I'm joining the party. This is a victory celebration. Colossians chapter 2, verse 13, it says, and you, being dead in your sins and uncircumcision of your flesh, has he quickened. In other words, he's already done this. Has he made you alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Yeah, even that one. Even that one. Did that just get turned on? Okay, good. Now listen to this next verse. What did he do? He blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that were against us, which were contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. God couldn't be any more serious than that. The law. The law, thou shalt not. And there's five parts of the law that have to do with other people and dealing in this world. The five parts of the law have to do with your relationship with God. And out of that law stem 613 other different things. And man, I tell you, if you look crosswise at somebody, and this is what that guy was saying, that it would be impossible for anybody in and of himself to be righteous unless he had pure, perfect, perpetual, continual obedience to every precept of the law. You can't do it. Jesus did it for you. So just rely on him. He did it. And through his sacrifice, he blotted out all that handwriting that was convicting you, that was calling you guilty. And under the law, there was no mercy. What do I mean by that? I mean, David had mercy. There was mercy, you know. But the law said there had to be a death in order to atone for sin. It demanded death. It was demanding justice. So they made a sacrifice, animal sacrifices. Blood was shed. The life of the flesh is in the blood. And a life had to be given for sin. But Jesus, blotting it out, this is big, because under the old covenant, you could only be covered from year to year, from day of atonement to day of atonement. But through Jesus, John the Baptist said, he's going to take them away. He'll take away the sin of the world. He took away your sin. It doesn't belong to you anymore. Don't take it back. You shouldn't steal. Doesn't belong to you. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that were against, they were contrary to us. The more you heard about thou shalt not covet, the more you coveted. This is what Paul explains in his arguments in Romans. It was contrary, and he took it out, nailing to the cross. Listen to this. Having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them. I want to get into this a little bit here. The word spoiled. The word show, openly, triumphing over them in it. These things need to be taken apart and really looked at if we're going to get a picture of what actually was accomplished and what actually happened when Jesus rose from the dead. The word spoiled means to put off as one would put off his garments. Used here, it depicts disarming an enemy, literally stripping off his weaponry and artillery from him and leaving him without any weapons with which to respond. It means to stripping to the point of complete nakedness, which means Jesus thoroughly plundered the enemy. Thoroughly plundered him. He doesn't have any weapons left. He doesn't have, all he has is deception. That's his only weapon now. If he gets to, if he gets you to believe you're sick and to say it with your mouth, the law of faith, which God put in place to bless you, now the devil is using your mouth to get you to confess a curse into your life. So, Rick Renner put it this way. Rick Renner's a Greek scholar, wrote those books on sparkling gems of the Greek. Rick Renner said that Paul was graphically describing how after Jesus sacked and plundered the powers of hell, he rubbed the devil's defeat in his face by throwing the biggest party in the history of the universe. And that's what we're going to get into in the other. The word show, he made a show of them openly. It means to display or to expose something, commonly used in classic Greek to denote the display of captives, weaponry, and trophies that were seized during war on foreign soil. Once the war was finished and the battle was won, the reigning emperor would return home and victoriously display, expose the treasures, trophies, weaponry, and the captives that he had seized during his military conquest. This was always a grand moment for the victorious emperor, but it was always the humiliating experience for the loser. And we know who the biggest loser of all time is? Yep. Old Slewfoot. Making a show of him openly. Now, this finishes that clause. And it's a word used throughout the books of the New Testament to denote boldness, confidence, or something that is done blatantly or publicly. Paul was declaring that when this heavenly party and celebration of Jesus' victory commenced, it was no quiet affair. On the contrary, he boldly, confidently, loudly, blatantly, and publicly exposed and displayed this defunct has-been. My apologies to all other has-beens. This has-been takes the cake. He displayed this defunct has-been to the heavenly host. It was the greatest celebration in the history of the universe. Nothing ever like it. And then it says, triumphing over them in it. Now that phrase, triumphing over them, is a major key to understanding the verse. It's rooted in the word trimbio. It's a technical word used to describe the general or emperor who is returning home from a grand victory in the enemy's territory. The word triumph is a specific word to describe the glorious, triumphal parade. Now, when we think of triumph, we always think of triumphing means triumph equals victory. Triumph is not the victory. The triumph is the party after the victory. That's what this is saying. The triumph is the party, the celebration after the victory, where Jesus walked in downtown eternity on Main Street, sitting there, carried by angels with a crown on his head, in procession. And right behind him was a wounded, defeated devil who said, I will exalt my throne up in it. No, you won't. And he exposed him, marching through the degradation that all heaven is going. And they weren't laughing. They were just so happy with Jesus. They were so, when he rose from the dead, heaven was roaring, that song says. What a beautiful name. Heaven was roaring. Oh, you got to see this. You got to wake up in the morning and roar. Let that lion of the tribe of Judah out. Let him just snap up a few of those demonic thoughts and demonic implantations that the devil tried to do. Get rid of some weeds. Yeah. He spoiled powers and principalities. That means he stripped them of everything he had. He made a show of them openly, boldly, confidently, loudly, and publicly exposed and displayed Satan and his demons as defeated, defunct, ruined, game over. Boom. Done. And then he rubbed his face in it just by having a big party after that. That was just the parade. The big party and celebration is something that is still going on. And I can prove it by the word. It says this in 2 Corinthians 2:14. Did I give this one to you, John? No. Well, it says this. I'll read it to you. It says, now thanks be to God, which always causes us to triumph, to party, to celebrate in Christ, and makes manifest the savor of his knowledge, that knowledge of his victory to us in every place. Celebrate the win before you go into the battle. Celebrate the win before you go into the battle. Know you are a winner before you feel defeated. Know you're a winner before the lies and deceit fill your head to so the place that is so infested that you don't even know what's going on. No, you can declare the battle, and in 1 second, you declare the victory is over, that Jesus has won, and in 1 second, they'll be gone. How do you do that? Jesus! Jesus! Jesus, you are in me. You live in me. You walk in me. You have your being in me. And I am free from all of that crud. Why? Because the blood of God is working in me, cleansing me, washing me, and I'm going to party. And here, devil, tread on serpents and scorpions and all. I'm going to dance on your head. Boom. Did I get too animated? I'm sorry. We're winners in this battle. You don't have to look at yourself as a loser, as somebody who's defeated. Even if you did stuff wrong. That shot isn't the mark of the beast, by the way. You can pick up, you can receive, you can put your faith in that blood and say, I am cleansed. I am clean. I am accepted in the beloved. Now, I'm not encouraging either way. In fact, we won't even tell anybody to or not to get the vaccine. What we do is furnish you with a lot of information right on your bulletin, week after week for the past several months now. Good, good, good stuff. These are the people who are for you. David. Was he a winner when he went into the battle, when he ran out to Goliath? Listen to what he said before he even went into it. David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail them because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. He said, what? He says, yeah. He said, there was a lion and a bear that took a lamb out of the flock when I was guarding my father's sheep. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered him out of his mouth. And when he rose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Now, David was not yet 20. Otherwise, if he was 20, he would be in that battle. He wasn't. So we knew he was younger than that. He says, your servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. And he ran out against him. This battle was over when Jesus said, that uncircumcised Philistine shall be one of them, the lion and the bear. You need to know this. When you're going, and you have a better covenant than David had. God's still the same. Faith is still the same. You know, somebody said, well, you know, God doesn't heal anymore because, you know, all that passed away with the apostles. Well, it says, Jesus always said, your faith has made you whole. Has faith disappeared? If it did, nobody could get saved because you're saved by faith. Amen. It hadn't disappeared. In fact, right now, the gifts are getting stronger and stronger and stronger because we need them more and more and more as we approach these times. Look at the soup we are in right now. And because the church has said nothing, done nothing, and has been lame politically and hasn't spoken the truth, hasn't risen up and saying, these standards are right and you're wrong, and you're not doing that to our kids. You're not having drag queens come in. Yep. to our library and our schools and read to the kids. I told you how to do my brother and sister and me, we used to cuddle up with our mom. She used to read to us at night. And during that time, it was a real connection. It was when drag queens are reading to your kids, I'm telling you something. It is demonic. They're making bad connections and allowing spirits into their life that are wrong. It's wrong. It's wrong. Why would they have to? There's two sexes, male and female. Read Genesis chapter 2. You'll see it there. Daniel was a winner going into that lion's den. He knew who he was. He was a man of the word. He quoted the word. He did it right from the first chapter of Daniel. When they threw him in the lion's den, all he had to do is stay. He knew who he was. Even if you're not born again, you still have authority over the devil, dominion over the devil, because that's the way God created it. Man didn't lose his dominion in the fall. Otherwise, the devil could just do anything he wanted, and he couldn't. He has to convince you to do something. Why? Because dominion is in man. God placed it there. That's why Jesus had to become a man. Man was a key figure in the fall. A man had to be a key figure in the redemption because that's where the dominion was. Daniel knew who he was. He was a winner going in. Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, they were winners going in too. And when they threw him into that furnace, I'm kind of lit today. I don't know if you can tell. But there's a party going on. And they're celebrating Jesus, who is celebrating me, who has given stuff to me. Why? Because he wants me full and happy, wanting nothing, complete. Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego says, you know what? We're not going to bow down to your golden idol. We serve one. He is the living God. And you know, and our God will deliver, they said this, our God will deliver us from your hands. And if he didn't, be it known unto you that we'll not bow down to this. And Nebuchadnezzar went nuts. He said, turn that thing up 7 times more. Didn't matter how hot it got. The fourth man is in you. The fourth man is in you. Daniel, and you can tell, Daniel approached prayer like this. Prayer is a battleground. You got to, when you go into prayer, pray knowing that you're getting the victory going into prayer. And you won't be there long. You can get it done quick. And if it takes some time, take the time to do it. But you don't have to go long, strung out prayers and sling snot for 3 hours and just, you don't have to do all of that. It's a little graphic there, but. Nobody will come visit you that way unless you're wearing a mask. So. Daniel approached, he knew God was answering him. When the king let out that decree, and somebody can't give me the dream and the interpretation, they're toast. I'm going to kill them all. Daniel went into prayer. He took Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, and he went in, and they got prayer, and they got the answer. God showed him the dream, gave him the interpretation, and look what happened. He was raised up, given great gifts. He was made Rab Mag, the head of the Magi. After that, and given great riches and honor. Not that he, you know, in another place, Daniel said, keep your money, I don't want it. When Elijah went in front of the prophets of Baal, he went in knowing he was a winner. How do I know that? He said, well, you do your sacrifice, I'll do mine. You dance around as much as you want. And pour water on that. Pour it again. Pour it. What are you talking about? You're going to burn it? Doesn't matter. And then he took all 400 of them and went down to the river. And this wasn't baptism. They weren't coming back up. He slew one man slew 400 of Baal priests down in the river. Talk about strength and anointing and power. He knew who he was. That's who you are. There's a party going on celebrating you. You are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses that are cheering you on. And their voices and the voice of God inside of you, the word of God in your eyes. My son, let them not depart from your eyes. Speak them. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Listen to them. My son, attend unto my word. Attend unto what? My word. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep listening to them. Keep them in them, for they are life and they are health to all your flesh. It's Old Testament, by the way, and we got a better covenant. Can you hear? Can you hear the crowd in the party getting a little closer? Getting a little closer? Can you hear it? It's a roar. Can you hear the music, the instruments? Can you hear all of it? Can you hear it? You need to listen to it. You need to listen to it because that party is going on. It's a victory celebration. And he always causes you to party. Always causes you to triumph in Christ and makes the manifest, whatever the knowledge of God is being made manifest in you in every place. All right? There's a party going on in here. Are you saturated yet? You reached point of saturation here? I don't know. I can't get full enough of this. But Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, for all of the images that your word creates in our mind. The images of victory. The images that you are with us, both the willing to do of your good pleasure, that you will not leave us, forsake us, that we are yours, you are ours. We are walking through this thing together, and we will not be defeated because he is defeated. Your word says, Father, that for as much as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and to deliver all who through fear of death were all their lifetimes subject to bondage. Thank you that you have cut those bonds off of us and liberate us. We are free from the fear of death, the fear of evil, fear of anything, because we will fear no evil, for you are with us. Your rod and staff, they comfort us, and you have prepared a table before us, a table with the symbols of your blood and your body, broken for us, because you meant business. You've defeated all of our enemies, lifted us up in victory, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.